Venerable religious, and dear parishioners, and dear students, for our 40 hours this year, I wanted to tell you about a traditional Catholic priest. And he is already deceased. He died in 1992. But there are some special lessons about the Blessed Sacrament that I would like to share in his life. His name was Father Brian Houghton. And Houghton is, interestingly how it's spelled, capital H-O-U-G-H-T-O-N. And he was a faithful and devout priest in England. And in the early 60s, he began to see some very worrisome changes coming about in Mass. He realized that the modernists were already starting to impose changes in the Mass. They were starting to use more English in the Mass. There was more standing, less kneeling. There was things that were not increasing adoration, but lessening adoration, lessening reverence, and he was worried about it. And in 1962, or rather, in the early 60s, he went to his bishop and he said, I have a great fear that even the canon of the Mass is going to be changed. And if that ever happens, then I will not be able to function anymore. I would have to resign and retire, even though I could work for more years as a priest. And the bishop, whether he was blind to what was going on or he honestly didn't think it would happen, said, oh, they'll never touch the canon of the Mass. They'll never do that. Well, guess what happened in 1969? The canon of the Mass was completely rewritten by modernist heretics and approved. And approved as something that now the Protestants would like. Well, Father Houghton already knew what he had to do. And when that time came, even though he could have worked as a priest longer, he went into hiding. Basically, he retired. And he knew he couldn't function. And for more than 20 years, he was in southern France. That's where he went to. He was probably had little to live off of, and he was just in a tiny place by his own. And he felt like he couldn't minister to other people. And he called himself the rejected priest. But in that 20 years plus time, he grew a lot spiritually. Why? Because he kept on saying the true Mass, and he kept on adoring our Lord. And he said, even though I've been a monk for these last 20 years, the Mass prepared me for this. I didn't find it impossible to be like this because I had the true Mass, because I had the Blessed Sacrament. And I wanted to read a little bit from this commentary about his life. And actually, he goes back to the time when he was a boarder in a Catholic boarding school. And this was, I believe, also in France, where his parents had sent him, and he was a Protestant. And one of the things that Catholic students did was they went to Mass as part of their schedule. Does that sound familiar to you, my dear students? Of course it does. It's the most important part of our schedule that we can be present at Holy Mass. And he talked to his friend, his name was Hippolyte, and he said to his Catholic friend, he says, I am a Protestant, and I would like you to tell me, what is the Mass? I go to it every day, but understand nothing. And he said, I go to my Protestant services. They are beautiful, They speak there constantly about Jesus. And his Catholic friend said this, and I want you to really listen to this. This is like when he was only 10 years old, his Catholic friend said, "That's it," he said. Hippolyte said to little Brian Houghton, said, "There they talk about Jesus, and they are beautiful, that is beautiful, but it is not the Mass. You see, the Mass is Jesus." So that was an amazing point in little Brian Houghton's life, which led him to become a Catholic. He understood, yes, the other religions talk about Jesus, but the Catholic faith is Jesus. Unfortunately, the non-Catholic religions all reject the Blessed Sacrament. None of them believe that bread and wine is changed into the body and blood of Christ, and we receive it under the appearances. In philosophy, we call that the accidents of bread and wine. But there's no more bread and wine. Our Lord left those appearances of bread and wine so it would be pleasing to us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Yes, you eat his flesh and drink his blood. We all do. Why? Because Jesus wants it. One of the most special places I was on my visit to the Holy Land with Mr. Steve Wakeco was I was right at that very spot where Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes. He fed thousands of men, women, and children there. And then he took that very opportunity, and that's the gospel for today. He said, "I am the bread of life." He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. And most of the people said, "We don't want to hear that. We're leaving you." And they left. And then Jesus said to his apostles, "Will you leave me too?" He wasn't going to change his teaching. You see, the religion that Jesus gave us wasn't going to just talk about him. His religion is himself. His very own body, blood, soul, and divinity. How sad for all those. Let us pray for the conversion of all those who reject the most blessed sacrament of the altar. But that's something to meditate on throughout our lives, grow in that deepness of that awareness. This is Almighty God. Father Houghton said, "In the face of such infinite majesty, all we can do is be in silence." I mean, what can a creature say when God works this miracle where he changes through the ministry of the priest bread and wine into his body and blood? What can you add to that? We can't. Let me just read to you just one other point about this. This is what Father Houghton wrote. "You see, God was making flesh in order to redeem us on the cross. At the Last Supper, he left us his body and his blood under the appearance of the bread and wine. That is the Mass, the real presence of Jesus Christ. Before such an act, there is nothing to do or say. One can only be silent." So, actually, of course, we should pray out loud, but basically saying that's why we have silent times of adoration, because the majesty is so infinite of what has happened. So I wanted to share these thoughts with you to nourish your faith. And I want you to ask for a greater faith, a greater love for Jesus. You know, there are so many times when we feel so dry, don't we? We come into church, we see the beautiful altar, beautiful stained glass windows, and because we see it so often, it doesn't move us. We feel dry. But you know what? We have to persevere and we ask for more faith, more hope, and more love from Jesus. He does give it. We just have to persevere and go into Him. You know, just this morning, as I was making morning meditation, again, I asked Jesus for a grace that I needed, and it was given to me. I understood something in a newer way that I hadn't quite grasped before. Jesus will increase our faith and increase our hope and increase our love. And remember to ask in union with Mary. Blessed Peter Julian Amart says, that Our Lady has led me to the Blessed Sacrament. The more he loved Mary, the more he loved the Blessed Sacrament. And in his order of priests, he made a daily holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament exposed. That was what the Blessed Sacrament fathers do. I don't know how many of them are left. But let us kneel in silence before this infinite mystery. In the Mass, again, that transformation, that transubstantiation takes place, a change of one substance into a new substance. Let us adore with deepest awe and love. And we will feel more and more that love of Christ, but we have to go to Him. If we don't want a deeper faith and love and hope, then we won't get it. But if we ask, especially when Jesus passes you by, ask Him for that deeper faith, that deeper hope, and deeper love, and also, of course, you'll receive Him and Holy Communion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.